are the European Union and Belarus playing politics with refugees? Belarus is accused of opening a new migrant route as a retaliation against EU sanctions. Could their standoff lead to a humanitarian crisis in the Baltics? This is Inside Story. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Mohammed Jamjoum. The European Union is divided on how to respond to a migration crisis in the Baltics. Belarus is accused of helping refugees and migrants from Afghanistan, Iraq, and Syria to cross the border into the bloc. EU leaders are calling it state-sponsored smuggling. The number of those trying to cross has surged in recent months. Poland's border agency says it's recorded 16,000 attempts since August and 5,000 in October alone. Other migrants traveled to Latvia and Lithuania. The EU accuses Belarus of using what it calls hybrid warfare to retaliate against sanctions it imposed on Minsk. Those measures were a response to a crackdown on dissent in Belarus. That's led to thousands of people being detained since last year. Natasha Butler has more from Brussels.
As frustration with Belarus grows in the bloc, some European leaders did not hold back on the last day of a summit in Brussels. They accused President Alexander Lukashenko of running a human trafficking ring and weaponizing migration by helping people to cross illegally into neighboring countries.
We see the hybrid attack of Belarus regime, which is continued, which is becoming more and more aggressive. We see visa facilitation efforts. We see tries of Belarusian regime to find new connections, new destinations.
The EU says that Minsk is flying people mainly from the Middle East into Belarus and helping them to cross the border into the bloc via Poland, Lithuania and Latvia.
What are your names?
Luxembourg's prime minister called on leaders to respect people's rights a day after an eighth person died on the border where conditions for migrants are grim. Some countries want to build a border fence, but after the meeting, EU leaders agreed to strengthen borders and impose more sanctions on Minsk.
We consider the behavior of the Belarus government as a hybrid attack. The people used by Lukashenko are victims. We must help them. No one's life should be used for political issues. And this is an instrumentalization of migration to put political pressure on the European Union. We will keep up the pressure on the Lukashenko regime.
The problem with the European Union's borders is not so much that we don't have enough border guards or that we don't have enough fences. The real problem is that when people manage to enter illegally on EU territory, that they are fairly certain that they will be able to stay, even if they do not have a right to stay.
With Belarus's actions widely seen as retaliation for existing EU sanctions, some wonder whether more penalties are likely to stop Minsk. But how to tackle migration's long been a source of division in the bloc. At her last summit as German Chancellor, Angela Merkel expressed regret that after so many discussions, the EU has yet to come up with a coherent migration plan. Natasha Butler, Al Jazeera, Brussels.
The migrants are caught in the middle. Al Jazeera's Step Vassen spoke to two men who eventually made it to Germany.
They told us, "I will kill you here. You will be dying. No mindset. You should go to Poland."
So they force you to
Yes.
cross the border.
And they talk us. They cut. They give us a cutter. They told us, "Okay, Poland from here. Go."
And they gave you the cutter.
Yes, they give us the cutter.
To do what?
To cut the barbed wire.
We were stuck being sent back and forth between the two countries for 20 days. The Belarusians would tell us to go to Poland, and the Polish would tell us to go in the opposite direction to Belarus. For 20 days, we had no access to food or water, and the Belarusian police would either point their weapons at us or beat us and repeatedly tell us to go back to Poland.
All right, let's bring in our guests. In Kiev, in Ukraine, Yaroslav Romanchuk, president of the think tank Mrs. Scientific Research Center. And in Brussels, Karel Lano, Chief Executive of the Center for European Policy Studies, thank you for joining us. We appreciate your time here on Inside Story today. Karel, let me start with you today. European Union leaders pledged on Friday to keep up the pressure on Belarus President Alexander Lukashenko to halt the flow of migrants from his country. How do they keep up the pressure? What does that entail?
Of course, we know since August last year, they have started with sanctions, and now they have increased the sanction in the month of June. And of course, they are further looking into what other pressure they could exercise on the government. I know they're looking also through IATA, let's say the International Aviation Transport Authority, for what they did with this journalist who came back from Athens and they forced to land in Lithuania. But they also they're looking, Belarus, but also looking to do the same thing, I think, through other international organizations. The problem, however, is that the Belarus is not a member of many organizations like the Council of Europe or the OSCE, the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe. So the only things left is through these other international organizations like the IMF and the United Nations. But this is more difficult because, for example, the IMF recently accorded a $1 billion loan to Belarus. So, I mean, the best thing the EU can do is to use at all the means, to look at all the means which exist at international level through international organizations, put pressure on Belarus, for example, also ensure that flights from Syria or flights from Iraq cannot happen, who bring these refugees to these countries. And all these means, let's say, just to make sure, let's say, that we put maximum pressure, as von der Leyen also said, on Lukashenko and on the Belarus government.
Yaroslav, EU leaders have also agreed to impose more sanctions on Minsk going forward. But if Belarus's actions are seen as a retaliation for existing EU sanctions, how would imposing more sanctions actually be effective?
Well, let's talk about the appropriate or the nature of sanctions, because in the first 9 months of the year, in the light of sanctions, Belarusian export of goods to European Union doubled. And Lukashenko laughs at the way sanctions are imposed because what he cares about is money. There are no restrictions on trade. There are almost no restrictions on capital. Moreover, some European companies urge European Union to change sanction regime as it was imposed so far. So, as Lukashenko said, different hybrid modes of waging war against European Union are implemented, information warfare, trade warfare, and what he cares about is keeping the society under strict control and preserving contacts with the Kremlin. And he succeeds in that, and in the light of very inappropriate mode of sanctions, he believes he can do that without any consequences. But what I should notice and point out is how come that these inflow of refugees or people from different Arab countries happened only in 2021? It never had happened before. So there must be some information campaign in these countries to tell the people what kind of status Belarus has and not to come to Belarus, because nobody forces them into these planes to come to Belarus, which is definitely wages this hybrid mode of warfare with the European Union to abolish sanctions altogether.
Karel, the EU keeps talking about hybrid warfare, that Belarus is waging some type of hybrid attacks and hybrid warfare. What exactly, can you break that down for us? What exactly does hybrid warfare mean when it's applied to Belarus right now?
Hybrid, in this case, is kind of a pseudo-warfare. It's not the real warfare. Belarus is not saying that they are doing these things. They are doing these things just as a threat, I mean, to the European Union. And they say these migrants are coming to Belarus to go to the EU. But they are not saying that they are sponsoring this. That's the form of hybrid warfare there is. But I think, let's say, these are things the EU can counter. And on top of that, we know, let's say, that we have some other problems within the EU. But they tried to cross the border into Poland, which is not one of the most keen members of the European Union. The European Union can use this also as an element towards Poland to say, look, you see what the European Union is good for. We can act together and we can stop this guy at your borders, which you don't like at all as well, to come into your country. But anyway, it's a thing which we know human shields since very long time. It happened already in the Greek times, but I think Lukashenko didn't have to look very far. He could look at Erdogan, what Erdogan did with the Syrian refugees in 2015, 2016, by which he put maximum pressure on Merkel and got several billions to keep the Syrian refugees within the Turkish borders. But again, let's say what the EU can do is limited, but the best thing the EU can do is to be consensual, to be united, and to exercise maximum pressure. And probably also, as the other speaker was saying, there are still many more things which the EU can do. And if, for example, the IMF just accorded a 1 billion loan to Belarus, that should not have been done. But again, apparently there are still many loopholes which can keep Lukashenko alive. And the most important one is his close relationship with Putin and with Russia.
Yaroslav, is what we're seeing here is... Yeah. Oh, yeah, go ahead. If you want to jump in, please go ahead.
May a little bit correction. That is not a loan, technically. That's a disbursement of the funds that each member of IMF got. And there must be good reasons not to give it to Belarus, like not recognizing the legitimacy of the Belarusian government. And IMF is not a political organization to do that. That is why Lukashenko regime got this $920 million. And definitely that's not a loan. And it doesn't say that IMF supports that. However, European Union foreign policy should definitely be more comprehensive and consistent. And again, Belarus is famous for having smuggled different kinds of grey economy schemes in trading tobacco goods with European Union, and it has never been stopped. So migration is another wave of that shows that definitely homework should be done by European Union too.
Carol, why has the EU still not been able to come up with a coherent and comprehensive migration plan?
Yeah, that's another element, but that's an issue. I mean, if you look at the EU, we have many areas where the EU is very united, we're very integrated, but the whole domain of what we call home affairs, justice affairs, is much less and, of course, has advanced over the last 10 to 15 years. But we still do not have, for example, a common asylum policy. I mean, we have different interpretations of asylum in the different member states. It remains a total national responsibility. It's not an EU responsibility. And we as a think tank have called for an EU-wide asylum agency for implementation of the Dublin Convention. But of course, there's still some way to go before we get there. And we have, by the way, published a paper on this only a month ago, just saying how crucially important it is to do that. But again, this is a domain where member states preferred, let's say, to keep it under their own control rather than to have it under EU control. And again, you don't need to look very far. Look at Hungary, look at Poland, which are more dissident members within the EU, to call it that way. Which would certainly not like to have Brussels dictating the asylum policy for these two countries.
Karel, you just mentioned, you know, basically the idea that you would like to see there be a unified policy when it comes to asylum. What has to happen for that to become a reality?
I mean, it's not so difficult. It's just that the member states have to agree in common that they want to do this together. And there is a single agency dealing with all asylum applications in the EU. But that means that they have to give away some sovereignty over asylum applications at the national level, but that we have an EU authority, which is basically working with all member states, to agree and to decide on asylum for a given asylum seeker.
Yaros,
today, it is totally a member state responsibility. It's not an EU responsibility.
Yaroslav, at its core right now is what we're seeing play out. Is this a case of Belarus and the EU essentially playing politics with the lives of refugees?
Unfortunately, that's a cynical behavior of Belarusian authorities, I believe. It does not inform people who come to Belarus on the conditions and how they can go to European Union on the one hand. On the other hand, the Belarusian regime realizes the soft spot in EU foreign policy and migration policy, and it abuses it, of course. But there is one player also that we should mention here. It's Russia. Some people believe that Russia definitely could have a say in this kind of conflict. And if Russia says something or takes the position to have migration policy in order, I think that European Union would be very grateful. And Russia would also see that it has some leverage on Belarus. However, it doesn't happen. That means that not only migration policy is in question and it does not add strength to the European Union, but also that adds insult to injury, like energy policy right now, the inflow of capital and many other things. And we see the weakening of European Union as the factor that is abused by Belarusian and Russian authorities altogether.
Kato, from your vantage point, could this standoff that's playing out right now, could it lead to a humanitarian crisis in the Baltics?
Yeah, but it's already a humanitarian crisis. This is ongoing since several months. The question is, how can we stop it from happening? And that's why, as I said, we need to try to exercise maximum pressure. And it is, for example, through even further limiting, for example, planes getting access to the Belarusian airspace. And so on, and acting through other organizations just to really get the government on its knees. But we know it's very difficult to do that. And there are so many ways. If Belarus is supported by Russia, then it may last very long. On the other hand, if we see what he's doing and we see other things which are happening in the country, we shouldn't be desperate. We know that the opposition is very strong in Belarus, certainly outside the country, in Lithuania and Poland and other countries, in Latvia. And we have to support this opposition to try to exercise maximum pressure to get rid of this man in Belarus.
Yaroslav, are there any indications right now that President Lukashenko would back down at all or be more concerned about the possibility of further sanctions?
Having over 700 political prisoners and over 70,000 people who suffered from the regime, Lukashenko having very favorable economic conditions and, again, increase of export by 35% in 2021, having Russia support, China support, he's not likely to back down. Why should he, if he's waging information, trade, migration warfare, and he's seeing that European Union is not demonstrating strength, and what he cares and what he is afraid of is unity and force and determination to resist this kind of behavior. So essentially involuntary, European Union is a kind of supporting this kind of behavior of the Belarusian regime, and the number of people of Belarusians who left the country, I think they exceeded 500,000, which definitely weakened Belarusian opposition inside the country, and there is no pressure inside of it. So I think that the prospects of changing Lukashenko's regime are quite grim.
Kato, there are growing calls by some EU member states to build border fences, to build walls. Do you believe that we're going to see that happening more and more?
Yes, we can have these walls, but we know this border between Belarus and Latvia, Lithuania, Poland is extremely long, so it's extremely difficult to have these fences as a kind of a 100% fence between these different countries. So I think this is not a solution. There will always be ways around, and if people are given by the Belarusian government means to cut away these fences, again, let's say this is not a solution. We'll have to think about other solutions to put maximum pressure on this government. And don't forget, there are so many ways we can do, and sometimes within the European Union and other countries, like, for example, Switzerland or the UK or other countries, I mean, can also be persuaded to join the EU in making sure that we are getting it our way.
Yaroslav, I just want to talk for a moment about how the dynamics of migration to Europe may have changed these past several years. Is the Baltic route, has that become a more viable alternative for migrants?
Baltic route, on the one hand, and Poland, these are two venues where migrants go, and the reason is very simple. There is no physical border, no obstacles there. So Belarusian authorities stimulate or support this kind of delivery of people, and if that was all according to law, they should have the right to be in the border zone. So definitely their location, their being there definitely should be supported by the authorities. So, but again, if you want to change behavior of Belarusian authorities, the best, the most effective way would be to talk and to force, urge Belarusian commercial partners in European Union to change Lukashenko's behavior. We know that we had Minsk dialogue for 5 years. We had, like, recent example of Brussels, Belgian company urging the Brussels to change lease sanctions. We have Austrian business partners, Lithuanian business partners in different areas. So there are many ways to see inside the EU to put pressure on Lukashenko's behavior. And to add, if we add also some diplomatic and other tools to dialogue, have a dialogue with Russia on how Belarus behaves, that also can be the way out of the situation.
Karel, you spoke a few moments ago about the fact that you perceive what's happening right now on the border to be an actual humanitarian crisis playing out. Human rights groups have criticized both Poland and Belarus for their treatment of asylum seekers. I want to ask you about how dire the conditions are for migrants and refugees and whether or not authorities are even ensuring medical support or providing food and shelter.
That they're not aware of, let's say. I think they do. But again, let's say you can, it's the easiest way, as I said already, it happened already in the Greek times and probably before. It's the easiest way to have some form of warfare is just to use human beings as a way to get what he wants, which is totally unjustified. And that's why you have to use all legal means to put maximum pressure on this government. If they are losing humans to get their way and humans' lives to get their way, then we have to be extremely tough. And again, let's say, as the other speaker was saying, let's say there are still so many things we can do. I know, let's say, we had loans outstanding from the European Investment Bank to the Belarus government. But there are also others which are still doing trades with the Belarus government. Let's say, let's act on this and let's make sure that this government just behaves in the way it should do.
Yaroslav, do you foresee the EU being able to come to some sort of agreement, any type of agreement that would guarantee shared responsibility for migrants or asylum seekers going forward?
So far, European Union has failed to deliver on the unity of migration policy. But at the same time, we believe that under the pressure of this humanitarian catastrophe, when we see winter is coming and winter is much more severe, so the catastrophe probably will grow and it definitely requires European Union to act speedily to support governments in Poland, Lithuania, and Latvia to deal with this humanitarian crisis. Otherwise, you know, that would be big blow to the reputation of the European Union as the organization that stands out as a democratic free world. So definitely the reputation and goodwill of the European Union is at stake. And if European Union cannot act in unity to resist this crisis, to neutralize that, then they would definitely further erode European Union reputation in the world.
Yaroslav, at a time when there is this erosion ongoing of the reputation of the EU, partly because of this crisis, I mean, what, from your perspective, has to happen for the, you know, these countries to come together to actually come up with a coherent plan to deal with this?
I would have the craziest idea right now, probably, for many speakers. You know, when the Soviet Union collapsed, not when all the sanctions were the most severe, but when sanctions were gone. So if you do not have any other ways to put against the Lukashenko regime vis-a-vis European Union, having in mind what kind of connections he had with Putin, get rid of sanctions altogether. There must be other ways to pursue freedom and democracy in the region, and then you will not have a humanitarian catastrophe and deaths of poor refugees at the border of Poland, Belarus and Lithuania. So that could be this wild solution to consider.
All right. Well, we have run out of time, so we're going to have to leave our conversation there. Thanks so much to our guests, Yaroslav Romanchuk and Karel Lano. And thank you, too, for watching. You can see the program again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. And for further discussion, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. You can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is @AJInsideStory. For me, Mohammed Jamjoum, and the whole team here, bye for now.